This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hi, friends. This is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. Coming at you at the end of January, it is freezing cold in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. When I'm walking outside, I take my dog out. All the grass is crinkling like broken glass. And yeah, it's cold. It's really cold here. But you don't come to this podcast to listen to the weather. You come to listen to me talk about various things around creativity, design, business, work-life balance, and such. So tonight's episode, I want to talk about something that's, again, very near and dear to me, as almost all of these topics are, but something that has been regularly part of every gig that I go into in a management fashion, and that is about building effective teams. So in the last, I would say, 7 years, I have been really focused on this as a number one goal in any place that I've worked into, because I've been transitioning more and more into management instead of just being like a lead or an individual practitioner. And one of the first things that's always asked of me is, hey, we have this team that's already been set up, and we want to continue to build up their prowess. We want them to be more effective, and we want you to help lead how that team is going to change into a very highly collaborative, highly effective team that is going to be crucial to our business growth. So this is a really interesting topic to me, because this doesn't really necessarily mean everything around design. But if you are in any sort of management position, whether it is leading an HR team, whether it is in design, sales, what have you, effective leadership and effective management comes from understanding your team and how to leverage everyone's individual strengths and using the diversity of thought to create a much more effective team. So without further ado, let's get into it. First, I always like to talk about a little bit of backstory about how I got into everything, and that way it gives me some context. So like I said, 7 years ago, that's when I really started transitioning more into leadership roles. I left the Pennsylvania Academy of Family Physicians, and I started working as a digital art director. And over the ensuing years, the different places that I've worked at, I have transitioned more from an individual contributor to leading a small team. The first team I led was 3 people, and it was great. We were an ad agency, so our team had copywriter, designer, and a web developer. And over that time, we built some really great websites, we did some great marketing campaigns for our clients, and we did a number of rebrands. So it was fantastic. But that was an established team that I walked into that was already highly collaborative. They knew each other for decades at this point, and I really didn't have to do too much to get them to work really well with each other. So I kind of walked into an easy position there. But my next gig was completely different, where I had to build a team from scratch, and that was over at Harrisburg University. From there, I was hired to be the person that would be handling all the digital communications, all the collateral, and building the new website. And over that time, I had built the website. I also created a small in-house team of students that were my quote-unquote in-house agency. And this was for credit. For some of the students, this was their internship. And it was fantastic because they had some real-world experience putting together marketing campaigns, doing a lot of digital design work and creating websites and internal tools for the college to use. And it was a stark difference because I had to hire, quote unquote, hire students. I could pick from anybody there and create a team from there. But as I learned, just because you go to the same school doesn't mean you're all friends. It does not mean you know how to collaborate really well. So I had to learn a lot about how to effectively communicate with my team and also get them to collaborate and work well with each other. So the lessons that I learned from those experiences, I've taken and I've taken to every single role since then. Now, my role with Pennsylvania Interactive, I manage a team of 6, and we do a little bit of everything. We have 3 web developers, we have a UX designer, our citizen advocate, which is our UX researcher and data analyst, and we also have a UX content strategist. And we touch on everything from content development, doing a lot of the citizen-facing research and data analysis, a ton of front-end web development, and we work very closely as a team to be able to help our partner be able to create government services. So things that I have learned to make me an effective leader and create a team that is going to work really well together and provide the customer service and provide the value that is expected from the business. So a couple of things. There's so many research. There's so much, you know, written about team leadership and how to build effective teams. And I have a couple of bullet points that I've put together that kind of talk about this particular topic that I think does it's a really solid foundation for being able to put a team together, whether it's a team that you've inherited or you are in charge of putting a whole new team together from scratch. I think these bullet points here will really talk about how to set that team up for success. So first and foremost, say you are in a new position and they've hired a manager like at your company and you have already got an existing team. One of the first things that you want to do is you want to learn about your team members individually. You want to understand their individual motivations. What is it that they want to do? How do they see their job at the organization? What are their goals professionally? And what are the things that they are striving for in their role? And learn from them how they like to communicate. So for me, what I've done in the past is when I have moved into a new team and I have team members, direct reports that are coming to me, what I like to do is set up one-on-ones to just begin to understand who they are. I want to learn who my team is. So I set these one-on-ones up and I just been like, hey, I have some questions. I want to learn from you. Learn the ropes from you. And I say that, like, learn the ropes from you. What I'm doing is I'm showing my vulnerability. I want to not come in heavy-handed and be like, all right, this is the way it's going to be. We're going to go this way. And all your previous experience and in-house institutional knowledge doesn't matter. I don't want to play that at all. What you really want to do is get to understand. You want to empathize and you want to be able to really understand your team members because they are not mindless automatons as I've seen other managers try to treat their teams. It's like, you have to do it this way or my way, the highway. And it's like, that's not the case at all. You're not going to build an effective team that way. So set up one-on-ones, meet with every one of your team members individually, and get to know them as people. Really try to understand what it is that got them into this industry. Again, if you're in sales, why did they want to become a salesperson? What is it about them that makes them think that they're really good in this role? Because people's perception of how good they are in a certain role versus, you know, outcomes and how things have actually played out can be a little bit different. Since I work in design, I really like to understand what got people into the design industry, some of their background of where they've worked out, and how they've gotten to this job right now. What led them to here? Maybe those motivations were purely monetary, financial. They found an opportunity and they wanted to look at this. Maybe it's a little bit more altruistic, and it's an industry that they've always wanted to work in. For myself, if I ever got the opportunity to work at Wizards of the Coast and make Dungeons and Dragons, I think that would be fantastic because I'm just such a big nerd about that stuff. But for others, that may not be their case. They're like, yeah, this is an interesting industry and I think I can learn a lot, but it's not something that like truly resonates with them. So those are the things that you want to try to suss out and get to understand. Maybe their goals for themselves, whether in this role or something else they're trying to strive for, is they want to move up in the ladder. Maybe they want to be able to be in a leadership position. So it's really important to sit down, understand your team members, and take notes. Because the thing that you really want to do in these meetings is listen. You want to listen to them. You want to listen to them about what their successes are, how they see things. You want to be able to listen to things that you may not want to really hear, like how the organization isn't going in the right direction or just complaints about things in the past. But by you sitting down and listening to your team members individually, what you're doing is creating a rapport, and you're setting the expectation that you are a person that they can come to and talk to. If you did not set that up, you're going to have a much harder time getting the consensus and the collaboration that you want to have and ultimately want to build for the team if you don't listen first. So sit down, learn from every one of your team members what their goals are, what they're trying to strive for, how they see the role, how they see the company, and how they think they can make things better or how they think that the company should move. It's not meant to be a sit down, I want to hear some things and I don't want to hear all just the great things. I want to hear everything. So that way you can get a good like 360 view of how the employees, especially the ones that you're managing, how they see everything going. And then once you've collected all of that from individuals, find some trends, find some divergence, and also find where certain team members might have problems with each other. You can start to understand how certain cliques can start and who's really good with working with another team member and who doesn't like to work with the other. So it's important to see from the individuals, once you've looked over everything, how the team dynamics are playing out. From there then, what you should do is learn about the team itself, its history. Why does it exist? Why do they need you to come in now and either grow this team, elevate it, continue as is? You have to understand where the beginnings, the origins of this. This is important because this will directly affect how you set up goals and how you're going to work with the entire organization, with your team. So what you want to do here is learn from your colleagues and learn from the management as well. It's like, well, why does this team exist? What has it done in the past? How is it viewed differently? How is it viewed from different organizations? How is it viewed from different departments inside? What has success been defined for this team? What are the goals that management have for this team? And how have they been viewed in the past? Have they been very successful? Or have they just been kind of like limping on? Are they being measured for performance? And are they really being effective? Are they being utilized as the team that the company wants to see, but is there a difference from what the team members see? Is there a delta there? So it's important to understand from your team what they see things and who they are as people, but then also learn about the history of the team. Why does it exist? Where are its obstacles? Where are its stumbling blocks? Where are its successes? What is the goals that management has for it? Because a lot of times with a new team, if it's something that's never been set up before, there might be some very lofty goals, but no one really knows how to actually enact them, which is why you might be in that role of like, hey, we have these goals, help us get there. So it's important for yourself to understand how the team came about. Just recently, a company here in Central Pennsylvania started a customer success program, and they were a small startup. They grew from a handful of people, and they've quadrupled in size over 3 months. And they set up a customer success department that was new for them, and the goals were very murky. Was customer success meaning an account manager? Was that meaning support? Was that meaning business developments? And what ended up happening was the entire department imploded because there was no real set goals for what this team was going to be doing. So lessons learned, it's important that when you're a team that you're coming into, there are some clear goals, or at least management has some idea of why this team should exist. From that, when you've got the team history, why they exist, why were these people hired, what was the goal for this team to provide back to the business, and then learning from the individual team members how they've seen things, you can start to get a much clearer picture of what has been successful, what hasn't been successful, where the gaps are, and where you really need to focus. Because a lot of times, people will come into a role and not do this upfront homework, and they'll want to take a new stance, a new direction, without understanding the prior history. And this is kind of showboating. This is kind of like Julius Caesar putting the stamp on, we're going to go this way. And that's not the goal of building an effective team. That's more showboating. That is definitely more grandstanding, and you just don't want to get into that mentality. So some other things that you definitely want to take a look at is setting clear goals for your team or department. Now, a company may have goals. The company may have your mission, vision, and you know what their business development plans are. But overarching, that is definitely more focused on the entire business. You want to take the idea and make it more micro. You want to put it down to a smaller scale and define what this department, your team, what their goals are. So a great example here is that my team is creating a design ops playbook. This is a defined way of how we do things in our team. And it really focuses on people, process, and tools. The people part is really important because not only does it define all the roles and how we work well with each other, but it defines our 10 principles. You know, everyone's a designer. We always default to making the thing better for the citizen. You know, those are some of the goals. Those are some of the principles that we have. And they can be translated into goals, making sure that whatever we do, we always follow these guidelines for everything. So that's how my team has set things up. And when we have those guiding principles of how we work, we also established departmental goals. What do we want to be able to do inside of a year? What do we want to be able to say that we have done to provide value back to the business? Overarching, not just on individual projects, but over this year, what are we going to set out and accomplish? Maybe we're going to grow our knowledge on Vue.js or React, or maybe it's some other language. Maybe we're going to formalize and elevate our research methods. Maybe we're going to create a new product, something that we feel is incredibly helpful to the business. Those are all very specific to my industry. But again, maybe you're in a sales manager. We're going to hit these certain marks here. We're going to grow the business in this new area. What we're going to do is create new programs that make our customers want to come back to us. If you're working in HR, what you want to do is to help set this is how the company tone of how we do everything in this organization. How do we set up a culture of collaboration and openness? How do we create efficiencies in everything that we do so that people don't have to worry about how to do different things when life happens? So it's really important to establish your departmental values, departmental goals, and put those out somewhere. Don't just keep them written down in a Google Doc or any place else. Once the team has come together and really looked at what these goals are, these values are, and have also bought into them, you want to make them public and you want to make them out there so that everyone can always benchmark and always pillar on these goals and these values. So a good example is that my team and I have created this Design Ops playbook. And what we're doing is collaboratively going over this Google Doc that has been 30 pages at this point. We're going over it and just refining and figuring out like, yeah, does this make sense? Is this something that's in line with what we want to do? Is this something that's in line with what the business wants to do? And as we continue to refine and bring the page numbers down and really hone in on what is it we're trying to accomplish and what is it that we feel that's important for us as a department and our success, what's happening is that we're all creating that ownership for each other. And that's probably one of the first things that you want to do as a manager of a new team is to collaborate with your team to set up, like, here's how we're going to do things. Again, if you go through that process versus, all right, I'm the manager, this is the way that we're doing it, and you know, kind of lead with an iron fist, well, what happens then is that you get a lot of disenfranchised, disillusioned employees and team members that are like, this is not what I signed up for. But if you go the more collaborative approach of like, we're going to set up our goals together, we're going to set up our own values and how we work, that is going to lead to a lot more collaboration, a lot more ownership, and the attitudes the team will have will go from maybe indifferent to more favorable. The other thing too is you have to set up expectations for team performance. If you don't share how you're going to rate and look at the team's performance, then there's no real goals about like, well, how do we know we're doing the right thing? I don't know if I'm being effective. I don't have any sort of measurement to say that, hey, I should get a raise, or that there's no measurement saying, hey, I'm not performing correctly. So again, there's all different ways to rate team performance, but the one that I really like that I set up with my individual team members is I use SMART goals. And I really like that framework for individuals because it does give some parameters and some constraints around how individuals want to set up their goals professionally and personally, because I ask them to make a personal goal with this, so that then we can kind of measure over time how they're meeting these goals. And what I try to do is take all their SMART goals individually, and I try to tie them to some sort of larger goal that the department has. And then that way, we have some sort of constraint, some sort of mechanism that we can then start to measure how well the team members, and the entire department is working. The other way to make those things work is having regular check-ins. And I'm not talking about your quarterly review, but I like to have an open door policy, and there's a lot of managers and a lot of other folks that say that doesn't really work for them, and different business and different industries doesn't really kind of lend itself to that. But the way that I see my output now is that my output is not the artifacts or the HTML, the CSS, or the design specs. My output is my people. My work is my people and how well they're doing everything. So for me to be really effective in that, what I like to do is have an open door policy, and I set up regular check-ins from every 6 weeks to, every 2 months, more formalized sit down, kind of check-ins. But I have this policy where my door is always open to anybody. And if you just look at my Slack messages, like, hey, I'm heads down on something, that's the way that most people then will kind of leave me alone and work on things. But for the most part, I avail myself to my team at any point in time. What's come out of that has been great, because many times team members come in just like, hey, wanted to pop in, have this idea, I wanted to see if this made sense to you real quick. Or we even have a more formalized conversation, or just, hey, just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly. And what's ended up happening is that my team feels empowered to do their own work. I'm not micromanaging them, and they feel like I can make these decisions on their own. So by defining those expectations for the team members to kind of self-manage and having that open door policy and those more regular check-ins, what this does is create a framework for the team to understand how I'm looking at them for their performance, how I'm rating and grading kind of everything. And when team members are kind of veering off track a little bit, it's not something that's completely out of left field. I'm kind of seeing this happen, and it's a real easy way to get back on track when you have more visibility, more communication. So that's how I like to set up my ways of determining team performance, is through a formalized kind of framework like SMART goals, and having more regular check-ins, formal and informal, so that I can see where everyone is going. My goal then is then to take initiatives from management above me and be able to translate those into tasks. And I put that through the communications I have with those regular check-ins, so that the team can understand, oh, okay, this is where we're kind of going. Okay, great. That way then they feel like information is flowing, there is a transparency, and that they can still continue to make ownership decisions on things the best way that they see possible. And the last thing that I set up when I'm setting up goals is let's find some sort of mechanism of how we can all come to a consensus, because that's probably one of the biggest issues with teams is how do we get everyone on the same page? How do we have everyone buy into a decision? So a great example of this is what platforms should we support with our product? Like what technologies? And we will come together like we should have a React thing of this, or we should have a flat, version of this, or maybe we should have an Angular version or a Vue.js. And I'm using a lot of, developer talk here because we're in digital products. So it's really hard for us of like, which thing should we support? Which thing should we go with forward? And it's really difficult sometimes because, we're all professionals. We look at the literature and see where the industry is going. And it's difficult to come up with consensus of like, where should we grow this product? Because they're all differing types of views on it. So what I've been trying to do is set up some sort of mechanism of how we all come to consensus and find the direction forward. And the things that I've been working on with this is asking everyone to come up with kind of their own mini SWOT analysis of like, this is the reason why I think we should do this. And we bring that to the table. And what happens is like have a vote of where this thing should go. And usually that works out pretty well. But sometimes there's a business directive outside of the department that would also impact what that decision will be, sometimes outside of our control. So when we are trying to come up with consensus of how we should do things, we try to do it as democratically as possible. But I've also said to the team that it's really important that you understand that some things are handed down and we have to find a way to support those decisions that were made above us. But if I've done my job correctly through learning what my team members' needs and what their goals are, setting up a mechanism for team performance and collaboration, this doesn't become much of an issue. This becomes pretty easy to be able to say, hey, we've got this directive. This is how we need to go. How can we best support this? And if I've done all those things correctly, the team is definitely more apt and able to come up with ways of, here's how we do this. Building an effective team is so incredibly important to any business's goals. That's their lifeblood of how they really operate. So it's really incredibly important that as you, as a manager, come in with the right mindset as well. You have to come in with the goal that you're there to help facilitate and drive how the team works and operates so that you're meeting your company or your organization's overarching goals while also supporting and growing your team individually and as a whole. So things that you need to be aware of when you're coming into this situation is first and foremost, leave your ego at the door. This is not about you in so many different ways. It really is about your team. You were hired to help make that team more effective or build that team from the ground up or help change the direction of that team. You were brought in for a reason. And your goal then is to make that team successful. Now, unfortunately, not everyone's going to have that same mindset. And you might have to make some very hard decisions as a manager of who on your team is willing to be on board and go this new direction and those who aren't. And it's pretty easy to find out that pretty quickly early on in the process. If you start with learning individually, understand the team history, understanding the dynamics, and then when you've set up your goals and worked collaboratively, those individuals who don't want to play ball usually start to stick out pretty quickly because it could be that they're very comfortable with the current setup. They have a lot of power in their current setup. They might be super detrimental to the entire organization about how they go about things. So those individuals start to stick out, and if they're not on board, there needs to be a way to then remove those individuals. And that becomes pretty easy if you've done these different things early on. But it's important that if you keep the right mindset, check your ego, and really focus on the team and not your own professional accolades, what's going to happen then is that if you focused on building a great team, people are going to recognize you as a leader, and those accolades, if you so choose to pursue those will come naturally because the proof is in your work, what your team is doing, how your team is performing, how they're adding value back to the business, and how they're adding positive growth. So if you are really interested in moving into leadership positions for your own personal thing, I think you really need to really question what your own motivations are for moving into management. But if you're really focused on people and you want to help them grow and succeed, then it's incredibly important that you check your ego, you really focus on what's important for your team, and set up some really good mechanisms for them to grow. And with that, this is a pretty short episode. I'm trying to make these episodes a little bit shorter so that I'm not just pontificating the whole time. But with all of this, this is probably going to be the first of many conversations around building effective teams and building high-performance, high-collaborative teams. It's so important that as a manager that you set the right expectations, you set the right tone for your team and your individuals so that they can continue to grow and you can continue to help the organization be more effective. So with that, I just want to say that I'm incredibly happy that all of you spend so much time with me on these episodes. Spending any time listening to me about the things that I feel are important really makes me feel happy, and hopefully what it's doing is providing some value to you each and every time. So with that, I also want to say that, again, everything that I say on this podcast is purely from my own headspace, my own experience, and I really want to stress that it's not indicative of any places that I've worked at in the past or currently. It's just my views on the world and is not reflective of anybody else. And with that, I will see you next time.